Welcome to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, thanking you for joining us today. Today I will interview Dr. Anne-Marie Evers. Anne-Marie has a doctorate in divinity and was awarded an honorary doctorate of philosophy from Moffitt University for her lifetime achievements and dedication to uplifting, educating, and empowering people worldwide. Her significant contributions to the world of self-realization, psychology, and personal development optimize the human spirit of service and speak to the oneness and potential for good available in all people. Anne-Marie also has certificates in Child Psychology 212 and Therapeutic Touch. She trained at the Counselors Training Institute and is a member of the Canadian Guidance and Counseling Association. Anne-Marie is currently the district president of the International New Thought Alliance for British Columbia, Canada, and co-chair of the Kids Camp for the International New Thought Alliance World Congress in Phoenix, Arizona. Anne-Marie is an international motivational speaker, best-selling author, international radio, TV, internet host, radio talk show host from coast to coast and worldwide on the web, and workshop and seminar facilitator. She has written 3 books on affirmations, and the most popular one is Affirmations, Your Passport to Happiness. She is co-author of the best-selling series Wake Up and Live the Life You Love in Spirit with Dr. Deepak Chopra and Dr. Wayne Dwyer. She is also co-author of Don't Die With Your Dreams Inside on CD with Greg Norman of Rhode Island. Anne-Marie is the author of 6 affirmation booklets, numerous e-books, and author-creator of The Cards of Life and creator of the children's programs. She is also a freelance writer and columnist for the Violet Ray magazine at www.violetray.com. Anne-Marie can be reached at www.annemarieevers.com or at annemarieevers@shaw.ca. I welcome Dr. Anne-Marie Evers to the Holistic Health Show. It is great to have you here to talk about affirmations, Anne-Marie. First, I would like to ask you, how did you get started working with affirmations?
Well, you know, that's a very good question because affirmation process, sometimes we don't even know we're doing it when we're doing it, but it sort of comes natural. But I guess my answer to that would be that my first husband, Al, was an abusive alcoholic, and I really felt I had to do one of 3 things. I felt that I needed to either drink with him, take the children and leave him, or find other interests. And I had no money at the time, no place to go, and there was nobody in my family that could take me in. And I thought to myself, you know, my children already have one alcoholic parent. They're certainly not going to have another one. So I just decided to find other interests. So in the process of doing that, I discovered affirmations, and it was so exciting because they have become and are an important part of my life.
Right. And how do you conceptualize affirmations, Anne-Marie?
Well, you know, people ask me that question all the time, and there's all different answers to what an affirmation is, but I like to say they're similar to prayers, wishes, or goals, only we make them more structured and specific. And, you know, really, Carl, to affirm is to make firm.
Right.
And simply put, the basis of all affirmations really is positive thinking. People say to me, oh, Dr. Evers, I've never done an affirmation. And so I look at them and I say, have you ever had a birthday cake with candles and blew out the candles and made a wish? And if they say, oh, yeah, I've done that, then I tell them they've done an affirmation because it's as simple as that. And also people call affirmations or statements commands or decrees. And we do them all the time, you know, Carl, whether we know it or not, negative or positive, don't we?
Right, we do.
You could say, I'm so tired, and guess what? Your subconscious mind says, Carl says he's tired. So what happens is your subconscious mind, your humble servant, goes about to make you more tired.
Right, right. Anne-Marie, there are different affirmation processes, and I found that yours is more complete and more specific than others that I've seen. Can you tell us about your affirmation process?
Oh, thank you. Yes, and I believe the one that I teach anyway, the affirmation process, really is built on 5 building blocks. And I really feel if you have these 5 building blocks in place, that your affirmation process is very powerful and works miracles. And the first building block is forgiveness. And the second is thought. Third, mind power.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, affirmations. And, of course, the fifth would be creative visualization.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have all those together, and, of course, the most important one is the first one, forgiveness.
Right.
You can't
mm-hmm.
get anywhere doing affirmations, in my opinion, if you don't practice forgiveness.
Right. In fact, Anne-Marie, you can't even bring about any change in your life until you forgive, because otherwise you're stuck in the past and you can't move forward.
Exactly.
So forgiveness is a very important process that people need to go through if they want to make any sort of changes in their life.
And you know, some people think forgiveness is selfish because it really benefits mostly the person doing the forgiving
mm-hmm.
because they're the one that's affected. Have you ever
right.
noticed that?
Right, right. Yeah, because other people often are not even aware that there was a problem to begin with.
That's true. But I tell people, I don't advise them to go around saying to people, I'm forgiving you, but they can do it privately. And some people that come to me, they're so angry at their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their husband or wife, and they're because they cheated on them,
mm-hmm.
and they're spending their whole life living in the past, like
mm-hmm.
you said, and reliving it, that they don't have time to get on and meet someone else.
Right.
And in most cases, their other significant other has already moved on and has another interest and another life.
Right. I see that often, too, especially in people that are searching spiritually. They're often hung up in the past with a partner that has moved on, and they're still stuck. And they'll stay stuck until they learn how to forgive.
That's right. They won't move forward, that's for sure.
Right. Anne-Marie, do you think your affirmation process is similar to the growth process?
Oh, yes, it certainly is. Because, you know, in fact, I even talk about the affirmation garden. And if you were to plant a beautiful garden, the first
mm-hmm.
thing you'd do is go and prepare the soil.
Right.
And my step one is soil preparation, and that's done by what we were just talking about, Carl, where
mm-hmm.
you forgive everyone and everything that has ever hurt you. And then we need to forgive ourselves, too, because sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. Have you ever noticed that?
Right, right. Yep.
And then I always like them to say, I love, respect, and approve of myself. And now the rich, fertile soil of your subconscious mind is ready to accept the tiny seed or plant. And then the second step is simply seed selection or plant selection. And this is what I compare to doing your master affirmation. And you know, you only need to do your master affirmation once.
Mm-hmm.
It's like doing your last will and testament. And you make it very specific, saying exactly what you want. And you know, I always encourage people to use color, because color wakes up and excites the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then step three is water and fertilizing your seed or plant. And that's simply by taking out your affirmation you've created every morning and every evening and reading it over. And this is like water and fertilizing the tiny seed or plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it also puts it on the front burner of your mind. And then the fourth step is to anticipate the harvest, bringing in the 5 physical senses. So you see what you are affirming has already taken place. You hear people congratulating you on your success. And you feel how happy and fulfilled you feel. You smell your favorite fragrance or flower. And for taste, I suggest taking a drink of fresh sparkling water or visualizing biting into a juicy apple. And now you see you've done all the steps. Now the last thing to do is act as if your affirmation has already manifested.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing affirmations, you know, Carl, if you're saying you're happy and then you think, oh, I'm so unhappy, of course it's going to negate it. So you've got to have a clear mind before you do your affirmations and have it so that you're open.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the hardest things, Anne-Marie, is to stay motivated to carry out a process. And I think that one thing that is very motivating is to hear that this process is successful. So could you tell us Have you experienced success using your affirmation process?
Oh, yes. I have experienced success in all aspects of my life. You know, some are very, very small, and some are big. Some are so small that you just think, I wish I had this, and all of a sudden it appears.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one. But I think to answer that question, I'd have to say that the most important affirmation that I ever did
mm-hmm.
was really when my son was born with two crooked feet.
Mm-hmm.
And his feet were so crooked that his feet even touched his legs. And at that time, that was many years ago, and I did not even know what an affirmation was. But I kept repeating over and over. I'd look at him and say, I'd say, my son will walk. And I'd look at my baby son and say, lovingly, son, you will walk just like every other little boy. And, you know, family members and others, especially my then husband, scoffed at me and said I was wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just kept on saying those statements with only a love that a mother can feel for
right.
her child. And then, you know, something interesting happened, Carl. I was introduced to a wonderful organization, the Shriners,
mm-hmm.
and they provide hospital care to make this affirmation possible. And you see, at that time, some 45 years ago, we were so poor that, and the doctor told us it would cost thousands of dollars to have
mm-hmm.
the surgery, and we were so broke that it was even way out of the question to even raise $100,
right.
much less $3,000 to $5,000. So today when you see him, you'll never know he ever had a problem with his feet.
That's wonderful.
But you see, the affirmation didn't manifest in that his feet all of a sudden became straight,
mm-hmm.
but it had to go through the process that attracted the process that would make this happen.
Mm-hmm. And do you have other examples of affirmations that have materialized?
Oh, yes, I do. I have many, but some of the kind of the big ones that are sort of stand out in my mind is the second one, I think, would be when I was doing an affirmation for healing for my second husband, Roy. And then when he was cancer-free, I was doing the affirmation that I do all the time, which says, I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious and happy. And I was doing that for him. And then when the report came back that he was cancer free, I thought, wow, affirmations are working.
Mm-hmm.
But then a week later, he had a huge blood clot and died suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And the affirmation I was doing, I thought, didn't work. So I remember thinking to myself, this stuff doesn't work. How can I teach it to others? And so I had a vision of myself where I visualized taking all my books and my writings and my tapes and my cards to the dump. And at that moment, I felt I was in a hole, a deep hole, and there was no way to climb out. And I had lost what I believed in, my belief system, which is affirmations, as well as my second husband. But then a little voice spoke clearly in my head and said to me, what would you tell others?
Mm-hmm.
And it kept on bothering me. So finally, I said, I would tell them there's hope. And then I thought that little annoying voice would stop. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It continued on.
Right.
Saying, why don't you notify yourself? You know, and when they
mm-hmm.
said that to me, Carl, I thought, what does it mean, notify myself?
Right.
So I got up and washed my face, stopped crying for the moment, and decided to pick up the pieces of my life and go on, and I did. I completed my ministerial studies, became an ordained minister with 3 organizations, and completed my doctorate for my Doctor of Divinity,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote more books and articles and everything. And then, you know, when I really, really, really thought about it, you know, I thought, you know, affirmations really did work.
Right.
Because Roy really was back at source. And what is he back at source? He is all those things,
mm-hmm.
which we'll all be when we're back at source, which is
right.
whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting how that worked, but I didn't think it was going to work.
Right. Well, you've been very successful, Anne-Marie, and so have you used the affirmations in terms of your career?
Oh, I have. Yes, I have. And in fact, it was interesting, too, that I wrote an affirmation that I become a talk show host several
mm-hmm.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot about it and filed it away. And then I became a talk show host of many shows. And I did over the shortwave. I've done many, many. I think it's up to 250 radio
uh-huh.
shows now as a
mm-hmm.
host. And I am also host of a regular series called the Dr. Anne-Marie Evers Show,
mm-hmm.
which is over contacttalkradio.com every
mm-hmm.
Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time. And, you know, the fourth one I did, the one that I think is really important now in my life, after my second husband died, you know, I thought, that's it. I threw myself into my work and I thought, well, I'm just going to just do work and not even think about getting married or again or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then after doing that for about six years, I decided that I wanted another man in my life. I wanted my third husband. So I started doing this affirmation, and then I cut out a picture of a person I like the looks of, and I put it on the affirmation like I tell people to do, and I put, I am Marie Evers, deserve and now have a loving, lasting, happy, healthy relationship, which turns into marriage with the perfect man for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't asking for the perfect man, but the perfect man for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it, made it very colorful, and then I said, to the good of all parties concerned, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I dated and signed it, and I looked at it every day, and I did it. And I started doing this in late 2004. And I had some times during that time when I thought, I wonder if this is really working, because nothing happened in 2005 and 2006. And then the early part of 2007, I met Reggie, the man I'm married to
mm-hmm.
now. We just got married June the 8th this
mm-hmm.
year. But you see, Carl, the reason it didn't work was because Reggie was already married in 2004.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And sadly, his wife passed away, and then we met and fell in love and got married on June the 8th, 2008. If I had met him in 2004 or he had met me, nothing would have worked because
right.
he was, you know, he was faithful to his wife, and I wouldn't, he wouldn't even consider anything that's not to the good of all parties
right.
concerned.
Right.
And so just everything. And now, actually, when I show people pictures of of the person I cut out a picture of, I don't know who that person was, somebody
mm-hmm.
from a catalog, you know, he looks so much like him. It's really amazing.
Oh, really?
So I want to tell your
mm-hmm.
listeners that are listening that if they want something, they just need to really just order it up and be specific and do the
right.
work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had an interesting example using your approach. I had a neighbor that moved here with a dog, and they'd leave the dog out on a hot balcony sometimes 12, 14 hours a day. And I felt bad for the dog, but also the dog bothered me when I was trying to write and to do the things that I do. So I talked with them about, could you put a doggy door in? Could you put the dog on the other side of the house where there's shade? Could you do this, that, the other thing? Nothing worked, so I started every night seeing them surrounded with light and love, and the dog, the husband and wife. And I prayed that our relationship would continue and become strong. And also, I visualized them surrounded with light and love. And I used an affirmation, I have wonderful neighbors who are interested in the welfare of their dog and myself, and they're doing everything they can that is in the best interest of both of us. And would you believe that 3 months went by, and then I heard the dog barking in the middle of the night, and I thought, oh my goodness, I wonder if they're going to leave the dog out all the time now. And the next day the dog disappeared, was gone, and I thought, well, maybe they've just taken the dog away for the weekend. And the next week the dog was not back, the next week the dog was not back. Finally they told me that they had found a loving home for the dog, and they knew they weren't able to properly care for the dog, so that they had given up their dog. So the dog was receiving much better care, was being attended to, and I don't have Norris anymore.
Isn't that beautiful? Well, you see, your thoughts and prayers acted on their minds, and that created that. Now, that reminds me of, I was going over to visit these friends, and I go over every week and do meditation with this lady. And every time I go there, these two dogs would just, I just hear them barking.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my friend, how can you stand that? And she said, well, it's really difficult, but the people are good neighbors. And she said, we're older and we need good neighbors to help us. And so I said, well, why don't we write an angel letter to the dog?
Mm-hmm.
So she and her husband wrote an angel letter to Sadie and Daisy, the two
mm-hmm.
dogs. And they said, we thank you, we dear Sadie, to the angels of Sadie and Daisy, we love you, we bless you, we thank you for, and then they said, for barking when necessary, but not for incessantly barking, and whatever they wanted to say, they said.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this angel letter, like I teach in my book, Affirmations, mm-hmm. Your Passport to Happiness. And what happened is I went over there about, and finally I said to her, you know, I've been here 3 weeks in a row now, and I haven't heard Daisy or Sadie barking. And they said, oh, no, they don't bark anymore. So you see, it's just amazing how this can work.
Right.
Because they were talking to, from their angels to the angels of the dogs,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't saying, they weren't mad at them or angry. They said they loved them, they blessed them. You see what I mean?
And I think that's the key, right? Anne-Marie, do you get emails, letters, and telephone calls from people who have used your affirmation process and been successful?
Oh, I do. I get thousands of them. In fact, if you were here, I would show you my big loose leaf books
mm-hmm.
that are just bulging out with them. And they from worldwide, from all over the world, which is the great thing with the Internet nowadays.
Right.
Because we can reach people all over the world. It's not just in our little area. And when they use the process and they tell me how they've created miracles in their life from healing to careers, relationship, material things, becoming more spiritual, handling difficult family members and co-workers and bosses and attracting great wealth and new cars. And
mm-hmm.
and then the most important, I think, is having the affirmations that help them to forgive and
right.
hurts from the
mm-hmm.
past
right.
and numerous others. And I also get many requests to do affirmations and pray for animals as
mm-hmm.
well, for people's pets and that. And I do that. And, you know, I am really, really grateful that my books and teachings have and are helping people worldwide, because
right.
that was my intention when I started.
Right, and that's a wonderful intention. And I'd like to mention that I was so pleased to see that you had gotten your book out to all the libraries throughout Canada, because it's such a worthwhile thing for people to have access to this. And they certainly will have access through the libraries. It's in the libraries, and didn't you put it out in some other places throughout Canada?
Oh, yes. No, I sent, actually, what I did was I telephoned the libraries
mm-hmm.
at one in every province of Canada, and we have three territories here.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the library in every state of the United States of America and 18 countries overseas,
mm-hmm.
and I told, and I asked them for the name of the person. And I got the person's name, and I sent the book directly to their attention to make sure it didn't sit in a corner somewhere. And then I've also donated many books to the battered women's shelters
oh,
and hospices and hospitals and physically and mentally handicapped, and just all over the world, and to prisons. I've donated many
mm-hmm.
books to prisons as well, because they need to have hope too.
Right, right. And I think the battered women, that's an excellent place to...
Yes, and they, everyone needs, I feel that they all need help, and this gives them a little bit of hope. And
right.
what I call hope is help open people's eyes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing with your shows and your teachings, and that's what I'm doing with mine. And I
right.
think there's so many other wonderful people out there that are teaching this wonderful truth, and I think it's really needed, especially in this day and age.
Right. You know, Anne-Marie, I had a personal experience with your affirmation process that I thought was pretty powerful. I bought your book last year, and I was reading about the affirmation process, and the phone rang. And when I answered it, it was you.
Oh.
And you were asking me to be a part of one of your radio shows. And I thought, wow, what a fast response to my need. Because at that time, I was trying to locate talk shows to be interviewed on about my recent book. And I thought, well, I just picked up this book and I'm reading it. And here all of a sudden, the author is contacting me. Now, isn't that pretty powerful?
I think that's wonderful. I didn't know that. I think that is incredible. That talks about divine timing, don't you believe? Don't
I think
you agree?
So, too. Right.
And there's another thing, too, Carl, that I just wanted to mention that I think is so important in this day and age, that every night at 11 PST, Pacific Standard Time,
mm-hmm.
I join in with thousands of people in our minds, and we do it in our minds from all over the world, and we do this simple prayer. We ask for divine wisdom and divine order
mm-hmm.
to our world leaders, peace in the world,
mm-hmm.
healing, love, and respect to Mother Earth, cures for cancer, AIDS, and all disease, and also love, protection, and healing to our men and women in the armed forces overseas. and then we join in with any personal prayer requests. And at the end, then we say, now we join in with anyone, anywhere in the world, who at this moment happens to be thinking thoughts of peace and love. And we jointly and severally send those thoughts into every corner of the world. And at 11 o'clock every night, I've been doing this for 17 years.
Wow.
If I'm not feeling well or I'm going out somewhere, I'll do it and then put it ahead to 11 o'clock our time, my time.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I hope other people that are listening will also start silently praying in their own homes at the time. That would be 11 o'clock.
Yes, 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And all they need to say is, if they just, there's a lot of groups out there which are wonderful, and if they want to join in with ours, just say, I'm joining in with Dr. Anne-Marie Evers and her group.
Mm-hmm.
And this was started by a lady, Dr. Eva Grace Johnson. She's living now in Apache Junction, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
We started that, like, together 17 years ago.
Oh.
And it's interesting how when you can do something every night, it becomes automatic. And, you know, if people are visiting me, I say to them, well, you know what? It's 11 o'clock. You have three choices.
Right.
I said, you can go in the other room, or you can go home, or you can join in with my affirmation prayer. And they always join in with my affirmation prayer. And then they say they feel so peaceful afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can just feel the people from all over the world joining in. It's fabulous.
Right. So that would be 2 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? 11, 12, 1, yeah.
And isn't that interesting, Anne-Marie? Because I believe 2 o'clock is the time that Edgar Cayce had said was the best time for people to meditate.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it was 2 a.m.
Oh.
Because when I was with the Search for God groups, I used to get up at 2 in the morning to meditate.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Now, my Search for God group, I have trouble getting them to all meditate at the same time because some of them get up early and go to work, and some of us are retired, and it's been difficult to get a time where everyone could meditate together. So we meditate together once a week at our meetings, and then I guess we all meditate, you know, separately at home during the rest of the time. But I may try getting back to the 2 o'clock meditation. I remember that being a very good meditation.
You know, too, I have a couple down in Ontario, and they're wonderful. They set their alarm and get up, do their affirmation. Their time is 2 o'clock as well, because they're down east in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And they get up and do their affirmation, and they go back to bed.
That's what I always did, right? Anne-Marie, would you like to tell the listeners what products and services you offer? And then how they can reach you?
Oh, certainly. Thank you. Well, my website is AnneMarieEvers.com, and that's AnneMarieEvers.com. And that's like V as in Vancouver. And people say, how do you spell your name? I say, like, forever and ever, like when you get married. But that's not always the case these days. And if anybody wants to go to my website, I have lots of product on my website. I have... My books are on Amazon.com, and my most popular book is Affirmations, Your Passport to Happiness, and much more, the 7th edition. And also, I've written a book with Dr. Deepak Chopra and Dr. Wayne Dyer called Wake Up and Live the Life You Love in Spirit, and that's also available on my website. And then I have actually another website that I believe that an angel gave me, these cards of life, that was what I call them. And what you do is you go to www.cardsoflife.com. And then what you do is you play the game. You ask the question, and then you push a number, and the answer will come up together with an affirmation and a hint. And this is very popular, and people are just loving this website as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited. And if I can help that one person out there, you know, it's worth everything.
Right, right. Well, it's always so uplifting to talk with you, Anne-Marie. And is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, anybody out there, we have a children's program, too, called kidspower.ca, CA for Canada. And it really helps with one to three, grades 1 to 3, and 4 to 6. And we teach affirmations, and we teach children. And I think that is so important to be teaching our children, because they are, of course, our leaders of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's been wonderful having you with us on the Holistic Health Show, Anne-Marie, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to talking to you again and having you again on as a guest on one of my shows. And I just want to say, here's what I always say in all my books.
Mm-hmm.
Affirmations, when properly done, always work. Now, I have to say, sometimes not in our time frame or as we think they should, but, you know, they always work. So I want to say to your listeners to be careful what we wish for, because we get it.
Today, I'm happy to have Michelle Beaudry with us. Michelle is a clinical hypnotist who is board certified by the National Board of Hypnotists and the National Guild of Hypnotists. She is secretary of the National Education Association, belongs to the Alliance of Hypnotists, was adjunct faculty of the National Guild of Hypnotists, and presents seminars on the Spa of Your Intermind at its 2005-2006 convention. She is co-founder of the Conscious Awareness Network and the Innovative Hypnosis Research Group. Michelle graduated in basic and advanced hypnosis, training at the Omni Training Center, and pursuing further study in Ericksonian hypnosis with Michael Watson at Phoenix Services. She has presented to various groups, including the Lions, the Optimist Club, the Rotary Clubs, JCs, and the Teachers Educational Associations. Michelle has ebooks and CDs to help you solve many of your problems, from overeating to smoking. She is also available for consultation on many of these same problems. She can be reached at 407-862-9144 or the internet at beaudryhypnosis.com. I'm happy to welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Michelle.
I am so happy to be here, Carl, and very happy to have been asked to talk about visualization.
Thank you, Michelle. To start, I would like to ask you why you chose to study hypnosis.
I chose to study hypnosis initially to work on my own issues. And imagine my surprise when I found out I actually had the recombinant talent to make a profession of it.
Could you tell us a little bit more than what visualization means?
All humans have the ability to visualize, and we use visualization routinely in pretty much everything that we do anyway. The usefulness of visualization for therapeutic purposes is that what we can do is visualize positive outcomes to begin with. In hypnosis, we refer to this as future pacing. People are forever daydreaming, dreaming, and imagining how their future would be. The advantage of using visualization, especially in hypnosis, is that a person can, through applying visualized future imagining, is they can actually see themselves having accomplished their goals, whether their goal is to sleep better at night, be more relaxed, having things bother them less. There are many applications for it. Now, visualization is a very, very simple skill. If I asked a person to close their eyes and imagine what their kitchen looks like at home, anyone can do that. Even people who believe that they're not especially visual because, say, they can't paint or they can't draw. But people are very visual. Everyone dreams, whether you remember your dreams or not. And this ability to imagine and to visualize can be used therapeutically for quite a few things in a number of ways. For example, in my practice, whether I'm helping someone to lose weight or sleep better or whatever it may be, I find that a lot of times that they have hooked their negative behavior to some emotion. They were hurt once or something happened. And through visualization, we can have them disconnect, for example, food from love, which is the case with a great many overweight people who mistakenly believe that food equals family or food equals love, when in fact it does not. Food is food, family is family, love is love. So by having them visualize whatever their connection was and then having them visually disconnect that, what they find is that they will take on a new policy of only hunger is a good enough reason to eat. Now, that's just one example.
Mm-hmm.
In my work, I also do a great deal of forgiveness work with people, and visualization is very important here. And how visualization applies to forgiveness is that the person will visualize whoever it is that they need to forgive, and then the procedure is that they confront that person, and then they forgive them by percentages as best they can. Now, one might ask, why would I need to confront that person first? I have found in forgiveness work, as have many others, that often there are things left unsaid. So the clearing of the air by confronting the person needing forgiveness is a release of all that pent-up unsaidness. Then the person forgives. And the beauty of using visualization is that the person doing the visualizing, the client themselves, they're in charge, and because they're in charge, because it's taking place in their own mind's eye, they have all the power. Not the person they're forgiving, but they themselves have all the power. And through forgiveness, there is healing. It is a truism that we cannot change the past. What we can change is how you feel about it. This is central to how and why hypnosis and visualization work.
Now, your ministry background also came out when you're talking about forgiveness, which I think is a very important aspect of holistic health. Now, is this usual that hypnotists work with forgiveness?
It sure is for me. I can't speak for others, and I think that forgiveness is so central to healing, Carl.
Right.
I would be wary of any hypnotist who did no forgiveness work.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have to raise an eyebrow at the psychiatric community for handing out drugs instead of dealing with the underlying issues and using forgiveness as one of the primary tools
Amen.
To make that happen.
Right. I agree 100%. You know, I think that we don't put enough emphasis on some of the spiritual concepts like forgiveness, like faith. If we gave more emphasis on faith, we wouldn't have all of the people in the United States afraid of terrorist attacks, afraid of not having enough vaccines, afraid of hurricanes, afraid of this and that and the other thing. And I think faith does away with doubt and does away with fears. And so I'm glad that you're incorporating these spiritual concepts into your practice.
Absolutely. Yes, there is. As an Alliance of Divine Love minister, I am interdenominational. I am
mm-hmm.
entitled to do spiritual counseling and spiritual healing with people of any denomination.
One thing that I found very interesting, and that is that you say that you can do hypnosis over the telephone. And, you know, we usually think of hypnosis as being one-to-one in person. So can you tell us how you can work with a client over the telephone and use hypnosis?
Hypnosis can be done visually, as television is a hypnotist, films, movies, sports, all of that can be visually hypnotizing. But most hypnotherapy is mostly done through the voice. For example, if you go to see a hypnotist in their office, 9 chances out of 10, you'll be doing the hypnosis with your eyes closed anyway. And hypnosis is in the voice. I'm going to change my voice and use my hypnosis voice. When I talk to people and I'm doing hypnosis, one uses a very low voice like this, richly modulated. There's my example.
Mm-hmm.
So hypnosis can easily be done over the phone, and here's one of the wonderful advantages. You're not in some stranger's office when you do it. You're at home in your own recliner, your own sofa, your own comfy chair. And arguably, the client goes deeper into trance more easily because they're in their own home safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
Further, with the price of gasoline being what it is, I find even clients that live within an hour or two will come in for the first session, and then we'll do the rest of them by telephone just to save them on the gasoline. One other point I'd like to make about hypnosis by phone is I don't think that where a person lives should stop them from getting the help they seek. And not everyone lives in an area that has a hypnotist or a choice of hypnotist. By using a quality hypnotist and doing it over the phone, then you have access to truly great minds all over the country who have the skills.
Michelle, I'm very interested in the low-income and homeless population, and I had a health center for the homeless for some years through a grant that I got from the Division of Nursing. And I'm wondering, so many of that population needed help with a lot of areas and forgiveness. They smoked. They had all kinds of health problems. Are there facilities for that population?
In hypnosis?
Yes.
There really, not only are there not, to my knowledge, but there is a local battered women's shelter that I repeatedly for a year asked if I could come up and for free do weight loss, smoking, stress reduction, and all the other things that you have mentioned. And what I found out is not only can they not bring in a hypnotist because the board won't let it happen, but there
really?
Are also issues, and this won't surprise you, of liability. And I have repeatedly offered, and it has not been helpful to hear the word no. Nevertheless, it's not that we haven't tried.
Right.
But we get a, no, go away, you're a hypnotist. That has to do with the occult. No, it doesn't. People go into hypnosis every time you read a good book or watch a film. Oh, let me give you a really good example, Carl.
Right.
At the end of a movie that you really like, when the credits roll, you know how you sort of come to alertness?
Right.
That's what emerging from hypnosis feels like, because that's exactly what it is.
Oh.
I totally agree with you that, the kinds of skills that I and other hypnotists have should be made available to people like the homeless, but the door is locked to us, mostly for liability reasons.
Now, is there, would it work to use a different name?
Instead of hypnosis?
Right.
Well, believe me, we laugh in our industry about what we call the H word. And there are a lot of hypnotists out there who do use other phrases. I'll give you a few examples. Oh, I don't do hypnosis. I do guided imagery. Or I do guided meditation. Here's a favorite. Emotive visualization. They call it by so many names. I'll give you another example. Professional sports use hypnotists all the time, but they won't call us hypnotists. We are sports consultants. And they use visualizations. All the big sports teams, the Olympians do it, the professional golfers do it, and it works beautifully. But they will not use the H word because of that, because of its connotations. And I'll have people phone me, Carl, and they'll say, well, I don't believe in hypnosis. And I say, well, the way it's been represented in the media, you shouldn't, because the way it's been represented to you is false. And I will say this even further. There has never been a film or a television show that has, I mean, a fictitious one. I'm not talking about a talk show like Oprah. I'm talking about films and TV shows that are fictional in nature. They have never represented hypnosis accurately.
I think things are beginning to change a little bit, and maybe it's just at the professional level, because I did a follow-up grant for the homeless population, and I incorporated a lot of the alternative things. I had a physician that was going to work with me on acupuncture. I had another group that was going to provide massage, various alternative things, and we were building in research of these alternative interventions. And I received the second highest priority score from the Division of Nursing on my grant. However, that was a year that Congress decided there was a shortage of nurses, so all funding went to went to education instead of service. But I think that it did show that there are changes coming about, at least at the professional level, in acceptance.
Not only changes of a positive nature, but there's a very real economic reason why. In the European Union, they are far more forward on using alternative health methods than they are here.
Right.
Those economic reasons are alternative health works very well, and it is cheaper.
Right.
It is cheaper to have somebody who smokes. Oh, no, let's use weight loss, for example. That's a better example. Say we have someone who weighs 300 pounds. They're hugely obese. Maybe they're 5'4". putting them on medication for years to manage their obesity, plus all the side effects of all the medications, which lead to more side effects from more medications,
right,
is far more expensive than acupuncture, hypnosis, proper nutrition. So the European Union is way ahead of the United States in this regard. And I think that if we ever do get national medical attention, or what am I trying to say? If we ever have nationalized medicine in this country, the swing will absolutely be away from a very expensive drug
right.
to cheaper forms such as alternative health.
And
is that the mind and the body are the same thing. They're simply different manifestations, just
mm-hmm.
as steam and ice are both water at different manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
And as you very well know, Carl, people need to begin to truly understand mind, body, no difference, same thing. And what I find, mind and body are the same thing. They truly are. And it is as if our public has given up all of its power to the medical community, believing that these little pills are going to fix us. Whereas what alternative practitioners find, myself included, is that you change the mind and the body follows. Over and over and over again, I help people learn how to do self-healing. I teach them self-hypnosis and then many different ways of coming at self-healing, not just pain management, but also sending love, kindness, and forgiveness to their bodies so that they can heal, as well as using visualization in the future,
mm-hmm.
seeing themselves as being healed. And another aspect, and this will interest you as well, Doctor,
mm-hmm.
one of the other things that has to be dealt with people who are in pain or who have multiple physical problems, they have to see themselves getting past the healing, not just to experience the healing, but to see themselves healed. Sometimes people get so spun up in their personal soap opera of, oh, I'm sick, oh, I have this, oh, I have that, and they begin to define themselves by their deficiencies, their disorders, their
mm-hmm.
diseases. And one of the beauties of visualization is to get them past that to the goal of seeing themselves fully healthy again. And that change of mind, that goal-oriented outcome, is something you can't get with a pill.
Right. Well, the other thing, you've mentioned some spiritual concepts, so I just want to mention that we don't forget the spirit in there, too, because I think sometimes people get so wrapped up into the body-mind that they forget the spirit, and really everything emanates from the spirit.
Absolutely.
And your mind picks up what is in the spirit, which is your essence, and the mind picks it up and builds on it, and then, as Casey said, your body is the result. So the spirit is really the most important thing, and I advocate going back and starting with what are your ideals, and then having people look at their behavior to see what kind of things is it reflecting, both in terms of their thoughts and in
yes.
terms of their actual behavior. And if you get your ideals straight, then your mind and body will follow, and you should not have illnesses. And that's my goal, is to help people, and I know it is yours too from, what you've told us, is to help people reach the point where they can live to 75, 85, 90, and not have chronic illnesses that are debilitating, that are inconvenient, that are painful, and so forth.
Even the simplest, most cosmetic things. I'm 54. I have some gray hair, but most people my age have piles of it, and they say to me, how come your hair isn't gray?
Right.
And I say, because I don't worry them into existence. As far as I'm concerned, if my hair wants to go a bit gray, that's fine with me. It can all go gray tomorrow, and it's not the end of my world.
Right.
I also have fewer wrinkles than other people. Why? Because I don't waste my time and energy glopping a bunch of cream, putting all this negative intent on there.
Mm-hmm.
Body, mind, same thing. And one of the things I have to remind clients about, beginners anyway, is that they really do have some say about their health. Their
right.
body is not separate from them. And they need to get real. And one thing I do want to remark about spiritually,
mm-hmm.
which will not surprise you, is it is actually fairly common for clients to say to me, if asked, I will ask them, do you feel close enough to God? or Buddha or whoever their higher power may be. And I will often hear, no, I am not as close to God as I would like to be. And I remark back to them, you do understand that whatever brick wall is between you and God, that brick wall is of your making, not his.
Right.
Do you understand that? They'll say yes. Well, would you like to take that brick wall down? And again, we use visualization to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because people get so wrapped up in their own shame and anger and hatred and everything else that they don't see the brick wall is of their making. They
right.
think that God has somehow turned an eye to them, when the inverse is exactly what's so.
Right, right. Michelle, could you tell us about some of your CDs and books that you have available and how people can reach you to
sure.
order the books?
My website is www.baudryhypnosis.com, and I'll spell that for you. Baudry is spelled B as in baby, E-A-U, D as in delta, R-Y, and hypnosis, H-Y-P-N-O-S-I-S. So it's baudryhypnosis.com, and on there you'll find my 4 CDs and my 2 e-books. I'll talk about the CDs first because those are for the general public. I have a CD on the forgiveness pyramid, which will enable people to be able to do their own forgiveness work at home by themselves. It's my second bestseller. My first bestseller is called Release Negativity and Restore Your Spirit. And this particular CD, Release Negativity and Restore Your Spirit, does exactly that. It allows a person to let go of old stored negative emotions and then be upgraded with love, forgiveness, inner peace, and things of that nature. My next CD is called The Spa of Your Inner Mind. This is for advanced people. It is unguided imagery, and here's the idea. In guided imagery, the hypnotist will say, well, go into a room and do this and that. At the spa, for example, the healing room, which is the primary room at the spa, I simply say on the recording, and when I do this with clients, go into your healing room and have the healing experience you most need to have at this time. Then I shut up. I don't tell them what their healing room looks like or what they're to do inside of it. What this means is every time a person uses the spa CD, they have a different experience each time. And there's like 5 rooms on there. Now, my 2 e-books, The Forgiveness Pyramid and The Spa of Your Inner Mind, these are for hypnotists or people who are interested specifically in forgiveness work. They are instruction manuals. Forgiveness Pyramid teaches hypnotists how to do this far more thorough technique. The ebook, The Spa of Your Inner Mind, teaches hypnotists how to do unguided imagery. Now, both of the ebooks are available at the ebook mall, which is ebookmall.com, or at hypnosis.org. Hypnosis.org is also the Banyan Hypnosis Mall, and they have lots of things on there of interest to hypnotists. I should imagine that the Forgiveness Pyramid ebook would also be helpful, because I know there have been other people who've bought it who have not been hypnotists, but they were interested in forgiveness as a subject matter and in doing their own hypnosis work. And anyone who wishes to contact me directly can either email me at info@baudryhypnosis.com or at hypnofem@aol.com, and I'll spell that for you, hypnofemme@aol.com. That's hypnofem in the French spelling at aol.com. And my phone number here is 407-862-9144, and I'm happy to answer folks' questions.
And if people are interested in some consultation with you, they also would call, or would they go on your website?
I would actually encourage people to go to the website first. It's very extensive. I've got 12, 13 pages on there. There's an article called Hypnosis and the Mind, which is a very good primer. It sets forth the basics of what hypnosis is and is not. Also, there are 2 different frequently asked questions. The first one is just a general frequently asked questions about hypnosis. The second one are frequently asked questions about hypnosis by phone.
Thank you. I appreciate very much for being with us today, Michelle, and I look forward to having you with us again.
Thank you.